Here's what we're going to do now. Mr. Maka served us well in defining for us what biblical principles are in play in our relationship with our parents. And I just talked to a lot of parents, and I put myself in this category, who know the biblical categories, know the biblical principles, know that we should be doing this, but often just want to know how do we do that? What does it look like to do what Mr. Maka just said? How do I lead my child in a discussion? So what we wanted to do is just model it for you. And what I've done is I've asked one of the finest fathers I know, in Kenneth Moresco, to come out here, wherever he's at, if you can come out with your boys, there you are. I've asked them to come tonight and just briefly reenact what a time together looks like as father and sons. And obviously these are transferable to mothers and daughters, you guys are going to have to understand that they're not used to doing this in front of 600 people. They're going to reenact for us. This is a dramatization. This is not the real thing. But they're going to act as if they're going to act like they would during a normal time together as father and sons. And the reason I wanted them to do this is, have you ever thought, like, as a mom or dad, and I've thought of this as a dad, have you ever thought, I just want to be a fly on the wall in that person's house just for an afternoon, see what it looks like? Well, this right now, this is our opportunity to be a fly on the wall in this Starbucks. We're in Starbucks right now.
Where are the drinks?
Yeah, where are the drinks? All right, well, pretend you're drinking Starbucks, and I'm going to turn it over to you guys. Can we thank them for doing this for us? This is not an easy thing, guys. Thank you for doing that.
Hey guys, good to be together. Did you get your reading done this week? We're supposed to be reading chapter 1 of Knowing God. You guys get that done?
Yeah.
Read it.
I read like a third of it last night.
I skimmed through it.
I thought we were supposed to read the chapter. Did you remember that we're supposed to read the chapter?
Well, I remember.
Well, James told me, but I wasn't sure if we were actually going to be talking about it.
We're actually going to be reading it.
Right, yeah.
That's good. Well, when I ask you to read it, I want you to actually read it. Now, I really do want us to get through this book so we can actually have discussions about it. It's an outstanding book. So let's make a clear understanding here. We're going to read this chapter for next week, and let's make it easier for us to remember. What did we say? If you don't read the chapter, you got to pay for the bagels and the coffee for the other guys. What do you think?
Yeah, idea.
Excellent. Okay. Next week, whoever doesn't read it pays. All right.
All right.
Now we're really going to read it though. But let's talk about your quiet times. How are your quiet times going? What are you doing in your quiet times right now, and how are they going?
I've been trying to read through the Bible, so I'm kind of in Leviticus. I'm kind of stuck, but I mean, I've been praying a little bit, but normally I just read for like a few minutes and then kind of get distracted because it's not that interesting, I guess.
Well, let me encourage you. I think reading this chapter will be good for you, John David, because I'm not saying don't read the Bible, but let's, for this season, let's just focus on reading the chapter, and then there are scriptures in the chapter, and take time to meditate on those scriptures. So read about 3 or 4 pages a day, and you'll get through the whole thing in a week.
Okay?
So, Mr. How are you doing?
Well, this week I had quiet time every morning for like 10 to 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of fell asleep when I was praying. But
okay. What are you praying about? How are you praying?
I start by thanking God for the gospel, and thank you for giving us all his blessings and everything. Yeah.
And where, that's excellent, that's outstanding. So why would you fall asleep? Where were you sitting?
I was sitting on the couch.
Okay, I think it's great that you're having a quiet time, even you're getting started in that. But I find, for me personally, sitting on the couch is not a good place to have a quiet time, or it becomes very quiet. And so I want you to find an uncomfortable chair, and I want you to sit in that, and that's where I want you to have a quiet time. Is that okay?
yeah, I guess.
I'm not sensing enthusiasm.
I'll do it.
Okay. Do you understand why I'm encouraging you to do that?
Yeah, if I can stay awake.
Yeah, and for me, like, in the morning when I'm having my quiet time and I'm starting to pray, oftentimes I'll just stand up because it helps me to stay awake. You know what I'm saying? So I encourage you to do that, but thanks for pursuing. How about you, James? How are you doing?
Like, when I have had them, they've been good. The earlier in the week, I had, like, you know, I had my big chem exam Monday, calc exam Tuesday, so those mornings I was kind of cramming and studying a lot, but, like, when I did have them Thursday, Friday, they went pretty well.
Okay. Excellent. What are you reading? What are you...
I'm reading this. Excellent. This chapter, thank you. And I'm also reading the Psalms.
Excellent. That's outstanding. I'm glad you're doing that. Thank you for completing the assignment. I would encourage you to be thinking next week about your assignments and about your schedules, and I want to talk about your schedules because it seems like, and I appreciate the fact that you study hard and you work hard, but if you leave it till the last minute and you're up like you were Sunday night till 2 in the morning studying for the exam, 3 in the morning, it's very difficult to have a quiet time. So I want to encourage you to perhaps think about the weekend and how you can fit that all in. Is that?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, in talking about this week, Mom and I need babysitters Thursday and Friday, and I was just wondering if, I know Christopher's not going to be available, so John, David, and James, can one of you do Thursday?
I don't think I can because we have band practice on Thursday.
I can't do Thursday either.
I have a party I'm going to, but I planned this like a week ago, so...
Okay.
You just, that's like...
I don't think we can reschedule band practice.
Okay. James, we might need you to think about this. Can you tell me a little bit about this party?
I think it's just that, I mean, it's not a big deal. We're just going to watch a movie at a friend's house, but we've been planning it for like a week, so.
Okay. Well, normally, when we're, have you talked to Mom about this party?
I mentioned it to her. I mean, yeah.
Okay. I think that normally you ask if you can go to a party. You don't just let me know you're going to be going to a party.
Just a movie.
Okay. Well, do you think you can perhaps not go to the party and watch the kids on Thursday night? Because we do have care group and we have a counseling situation on Friday night.
Why can't you, Dave? I mean, that was last second. You just brought that up and... I've knew this for weeks, so I think it's selfish of you guys to ask me to do it when I've been wanting to do this for like a week. It's just not right.
It doesn't really seem like you're listening to what Dad has to say. I mean, he seems like he's patiently trying to talk to you about this. But.
I'd like to just ask you to consider your attitude right now, James. If you would, if you just stop and think about what we're talking about here. I'm not sure that you're having the best attitude right now.
I don't know why you're kind of turning around on me. Like, I just don't think it's right of you guys to do that. That's what I was saying. I don't know. Okay. Why does it have to be about me?
Well, I want to have a conversation about the party and whether or not you should go to that and let you know why I don't think that is the priority. But I don't know if having that conversation is going to be helpful if you're going to have the attitude that you're having right now. And so I really think you need to stop and ask yourself, there's a scripture in Ephesians 6, 1-3 that Mr. Maka spoke about at 10:31 meeting. And do you remember what it says?
I know Ephesians 6, 1-3.
Okay.
I don't really want to say it right now.
Well, what does it say?
Children, obey your parents in the Lord.
That was the second part, son.
Honor your father and mother, for this is right.
What does it mean to honor?
Like consider weighty or something.
Do you think you're listening right now and considering our thoughts?
No. I don't think so.
Well, you know we love you, and we're a family here, and we got to work this out together. But I think you need to change your attitude so we can have a conversation about it. And I don't think John David's being selfish by going to band practice, son. He's serving the church. That's on the schedule, and we can talk about the party, but based on what you've told me so far, I don't even know anything about it, and I think you shouldn't be coming to me and tell me that you're going to a party. You should be coming and asking me in the first place. Does Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that's true.
Okay. So do you think your attitude was good a moment ago toward John David?
No. Sinning against you, judging you, getting angry at you. Would you please forgive me for that?
Definitely forgive you.
Thank you.
Okay, now what are the three things that I always ask you about a party and ask you to come to me before you come and ask if you can go to that party?
Are parents there?
Are parents there? Will parents be there?
Yeah, yeah.
Whose house is it going to be at?
Right. And then, I don't remember the last one.
What is going to be going on at the party? Those are the things that you need to find out before you come and ask if you can go.
Okay.
So, where's the party? Who's it for? What's going on there? Are parents going to be there?
I think it's at Andre's house. And I didn't ask him, like, if his parents were going to be there, but I'm guessing. I mean, it's at his house. Like, I don't know. Yeah, and we were just going to watch a movie.
The movie were you going to be watching?
I don't know. I think something funny, but I'm not sure what. So.
Well, James, given the priority of these meetings and the fact that you're going to be out four other nights this week, I think that it really would be best for you if you could spend some time with the younger kids and then get your schoolwork done so we don't get another weekend where you're working until 2 or 3 in the morning, number one. So I just think in the priorities of your life, I think it's better for you to do this and serve Mom and I, if you would. I would ask you to do that, number one. And number two, I couldn't even endorse you going to this party right now because you don't know if the parents are going to be there, you don't know what movie you're going to be watching, and just without those two pieces of data, I wouldn't even be able to engage you to even say whether or not I'd permit you to go to that. So it has nothing to do with Andre. I love Andre. He's a great young man. But I want to know that parents are going to be there, and I want to know what's going to be going on and what movie's been watched. But even if I knew, you were watching Chariots of Fire, and all the parents were going to be there. I think this priority is more important. Okay. So, thanks for responding. All right. And that's all we have for now.
All right. Mr. Rahaney, can you come up here and help me out? What we want to do right now, first of all, guys, we are grateful that you were willing to do that, willing just to give us a sneak preview at what discipleship looks like, what just the time of hanging out, asking questions, drawing your sons out, developing a relationship, what that looks like in your lives. So first of all, thank you for doing this. And now I just wanted to ask Mr. Mahaney just to help me, based on what they just shared, just asking them some questions that will help parents, help you guys, help teens. I want you to listen to their response about how they're interacting with their parents as well, particularly these boys with Kenneth. So this time right now, we're just going to be asking them questions. I've gathered some questions from parents that you know we can ask as well. But Mr. Mahaney, I wanted to just kick it to you, see if you had any questions just from their time together, any initial questions that you would want their perspective on.
Well, first, I want to add my voice to yours and honor this man because
Good.
He is indeed an exceptional father, and honor you boys for the godly example you are. You are a gift to this church, each of you, a gift to this church. And receive our respect and appreciation. And that was some weak acting there because I know you boys and you do your assignments, but we appreciate you humbling yourself and trying to appear as if you aren't responsive to your dad. But I commend you.
We were being honest. There are times when those things did happen.
I'm sure there are. But John David's complete absence of any interest in the book Knowing God, I don't think was true to life at this point.
Wow.
Now, first question. How often do you meet with the boys, Kenneth? What is the regularity and what is the time duration?
We meet Saturday mornings, every Saturday morning from 8 o'clock till usually 10 o'clock is the minimum time, but sometimes we go to 10:30.
Very good. And is there always an assignment?
There's not always an assignment, no. We have gone through different books over time. Right now, with two boys in college and one in high school, it's a different season, so I'm monitoring what they're doing in the devotional time, but we're not doing an assignment presently.
Very good. What's the purpose of the time together?
Purpose of the time together is to be the primary influence in their lives and make sure that I'm doing everything I can to encourage them to love God and to live in a way that pleases Him in community and are preparing them for adulthood.
Very good. Do you have questions prepared in advance that you are asking them?
Well, the normal thing we do is we spend the first 15 minutes or 20 minutes, half hour, just talking about general stuff, what's going on, what's been going on. We can talk about sports, politics, history, all kinds of things, just relational time. And then typically, I want to get to devotional life. I want to get to relationships.
So devotional life is a regular feature.
Regular, where I'm consistently
regular review
asking
of devotional
them,
life.
Not just whether they're having the devotional times, but are they growing in their knowledge, affection, relationship with God in a way that is influencing their lives?
Right. It's not just the practice, it's the passion.
Exactly.
Okay?
Yeah.
And then relationships, what does that mean? Broad that, category, what specifically do you mean?
Well, one category of... I provided a list of questions. I think you're going to hand those out, right?
Yeah, these are going to be available on the way out. Great questions. CJ just asked Kenneth, just what questions do you ask? These are questions actually that Kenneth has compiled for parents. Here are discipleship questions to ask your teens in this kind of context. And so what we've done, we printed them out, and this is for each parent to take with you on your way out. It's small enough so you can fit in your Bible. And it's just questions to ask your teen in this kind of context. So these are the questions that Kenneth asks his boys, and we made these available for every parent.
One of the things that I will, since they were younger, I would always be asking them, whenever they're in a social context, because you taught me to do this, when they come back from that social context, to say, what were your conversations? And... who did you talk to? What did you talk about? And monitoring their relationship with their peers and asking them. And one question that I will ask weekly, almost weekly, I will ask it pretty much every week, is have you had any conversations that you know that I would want to be made aware of? Any conversations that you were in any way approaching sin or involving questionable issues or subjects or questionable attitudes, anything like that. And so that basically is saying, tell me about who you've been relating to, what you've been talking about. So that would be the second category.
Excellent. So spiritual disciplines, relationships, any other categories?
A regular category will be, do you have any observations for me or concerns for me in my leadership of mom or leadership in the home?
Excellent.
Some other categories. What are some of the other categories that we talk about? Anything that you can think of?
All right, beginning with John David. John David, what do you appreciate the most about this time with your dad on a weekly basis?
Definitely the commitment and dedication that he has to our relationship is one thing. It seemed very, very intentional, even when we didn't want to get up early and want to do this. Just looking back over the last... all throughout high school, just very grateful that he's expressed his love for us in this way. It's not just making sure we're doing good stuff, but it's, really caring for us and caring for our soul. And I know just particularly I'm grateful even through my freshman year of college last year, just encountering a lot of struggles and just grateful for his persistence and making sure that I'm seeking answers and not, just living by my feelings, just caring for me in that way. Just continuing to not just say, okay, now he's 18 and he's in college, but continuing to make that a priority and helping him with that.
Yeah, makes a loud statement. Christopher.
Just mainly his humility and the way he leads us every Saturday morning. Just like...
How is that evident? How are you observing humility in your dad?
Well, the way he asks us for his observations, like he said, and then also the way he approaches correcting us when he noticed an observation in our life, the way he shares it with us is in a very humble manner.
Excellent. James?
I'd probably say just like
how it helps me, like, just refocus my week. Sometimes, I don't know, just the way it all, like, if I'm, like, starting to, I don't know, feel a certain way, it just, like, helps me refocus towards God and just the consistency that He does that with. So.
Very good. Dave?
Yeah, can I ask one question? From a dad in the 1031 ministry, dad came to me and was just asking about you're making this a priority. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you've made this a priority in your weekly schedule to meet with your sons, to build with them relationally, train with them. And this father was just noting the difficulty of making that a priority.
Mm-hmm.
And training his son seems more reactive than proactive. Mm-hmm. Just wondered, you know, how have you developed this conviction that this has to be a regular thing in your schedule? And how do you make that a regular thing in your schedule?
The conviction, I think, was birthed when I was born again. I was a mess, and guys were faithful to speak the truth to me and encourage me to read things and help me to grow. They called it discipleship. I didn't even know what that was at the time. And I saw the influence of God's word and men on other men. And when I had children, the thing that I wanted the most for them was to know their Savior, know their God. And I continued as I got into ministry to see the influence of meeting together regularly, reading spiritual things, and talking about spiritual things. And I just knew the importance. There's nothing I want more than to make it through loving my wife passionately, seeing my children know and serve the Savior, and being faithful in the church. And because of that, this is a priority. I want to influence them. I want to be the number one. We talk about parents being the number one influence in life. Unless you meet with them, you can't influence them. I know they're going to be influenced by their peers. It's that they're always in context in high school where they're hanging out, studying many good things, doing plays, basketball, sports. They are going to be influenced by their peers. If they're going to be influenced by me, I've got to make time for them to be influenced by me, and I must make them be influenced by me. So it was a matter of time. When we got into high school, in the season of life that I was in ministry, my discipleship groups were now during the week at night. I used to do discipleship groups on Saturday morning. This was the time when they all could do it because they were all busy with so many things. So I just said, you know, we talked about it for a number of weeks, and I said, this is going to be the time. It's immovable. It's there. It's on the schedule. It will never change. If I'm in town, we're going to be doing this. And that's how we do it.
And you guys, John David, you guys have had to respond to that too, right? How has your dad led you in making that a priority? He's asked you to do similar things, right? Making sure that it's a priority on Saturday mornings.
Yeah, definitely. I never felt like it was a... Again, forceful thing. It was very humble. He did that humbly, and I understood his care for us and the priority of it. He made that very clear. And when I, you know, would
we had to work through some things at times. You know, during play season, Mrs. Mays was understanding,
absolutely,
and she allowed the guys to miss early morning practices and things like that. And we've had to give some things up, but.
Good.
Wouldn't your conviction about your role as father be derived from your study of Scripture and supplemental material that has convinced you of that privilege, that responsibility, and that one day you will be accountable to God?
Yes.
For that role and responsibility? What would you recommend somebody study who doesn't have that conviction? Because my observation would be that your practice proceeds from that conviction. Mm-hmm. That conviction is derived from Scripture. So how have you developed that conviction from which this practice has proceeded?
Well, I think the survey of scriptures that Matt went through today, for me, the scripture that has affected me the most is Ephesians 6:4. I always constantly go back to that. You know, fathers, do not exasperate your children. I remember a seminar Gary taught when John David was born. I went to it, and he talked about how you exasperate your children by not being involved in their lives and just leaving them out in the world to figure things out by themselves. That I'm not wanting to be a father who exasperated my children in that way, But then the scripture says, but bring them up. The word there literally means to nourish them in love. Nourish and cherish them with the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And I think that scripture there, I mean, there's a whole picture of fatherhood in scripture, and our Father's love for us is the main model for us in terms of redemptive love and sending His Son to die for us. But that scripture right there probably has been the number one influence in my life and motivating me. Nourish them with the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So there's instruction, the Word of God is going into their life, and there's discipline, guidance away from evil, enforcing it if they go towards evil, bringing them back. And, you know, I know that the only thing that the only way that we can ultimately bring influence in their life is through God's Word, through prayer, through discipline. And it's through their teenage years that this is so essential, because I knew that they would become 18 one day, and then there would be much more of an option for them not to listen to me. If the relationship wasn't built, if the foundation of their relationship with God was not built, my influence in their lives would be limited, and my grief would be significant if they were not serving the Savior.
And yet, by God's grace, your joy is full.
Amen.
Okay, so let's review the interaction with James and James' sinful response.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say James wasn't so responsive
mm-hmm.
to your observations and correction. Would you persist, or would you postpone that conversation to another time?
Well, if James continued to, I would seek to appeal to him by God's word. I would seek to involve the other boys, and by God's grace, because he has the Spirit of God in his life, he has, as a pattern, responded in that kind of a context. If he chose not to and was really digging in, well then, I mean, if there was a pattern of digging in, so to speak, not on this issue, but one of the things I've always said to my boys, two things. Number one, if they feel like I'm sinning against them or misrepresenting the Lord or not serving them in the way that God calls me to serve them, they always have the opportunity to ask for me to involve another pastor. And I would tell them they can call on any. I trust the entire pastoral team, so I would say
that's encouraging.
You can ask for any pastor, and so that was one option there. If we didn't get together, and I also told them if they chose not to respond to me, if there was a pattern where they weren't responding to me, that I would in fact involve a pastor from my perspective. But I would let them choose if they wanted to, any pastor they wanted to involve, and give them the opportunity to share first.
So where you observe a sinful response in any of the boys, do you work that through to resolve and conclusion, or do you provide them with your perspective, encourage them to reflect on your perspective, return at a time in the near future to review what took place and discover whether there is fresh conviction in their lives?
Well, it depends upon the matter. If it was a very significant matter where I really felt they were doing an unwise thing, I might ask them not to do that. But if it's a wisdom issue, mm-hmm. then I would encourage them to take the perspective that I've spoke to them. Like, for example, if James felt like he wasn't being disrespectful or arrogant, and we've had those kind of conversations, and the three of us did. You know, we read together The Servant's Mindset by Stuart Scott, where he talks about, you know, if one person calls you a mule, it's one thing. If two people call you a mule, you know, look for the hoof prints. If three people call you a mule, it's time to saddle up. And so we read that together, and so we understand the benefit of other people's perspective, and so he would know that the three of us disagreed with him, but we would not force him to agree with us. We would ask him to pray about that and go before the Lord. And, you know, and I'm not pointing out James in this. He doesn't do that a lot. He has done it. I mean, we've all done that at times. You know, all the boys have done that at times. And typically when he does go and pray, every time he does go and pray, he does come back and humble himself by God's grace, because sometimes he needs to just go before the Lord and ask the Holy Spirit to help him see these things. And
So how has, it appears the doctrine of sin has been a priority in your modeling for the boys, the application of that to your own heart, as well as your teaching your boys. Mm-hmm. Would that be accurate? And if
yes.
So, how have you transferred the doctrine of sin to their lives and an understanding of how to apply that to their hearts?
Well, just like we talked about there, if I have a perspective on one of them, particularly what's wonderful about being together regularly is sin happens. And so we don't often have to go back to the week to find sin. Oftentimes it happens when we're getting up at 7:30 on Saturday morning and getting to the car and relating to one another. You know, sin happens. And so in bringing observations to one another in that process, we've just been able to talk about that and share perspectives humbly, ask them, emphasize more the importance of listening than agreeing. That's the main thing in helping them to understand the doctrine of sin is we don't see things clearly, but by humbling ourselves and listening and benefiting from community, we can actually overcome the deception of sin in our own lives. And especially when we do that in a culture of love with people who really want our best. And I think one of the things that we've worked on is really communicating that to one another. Sometimes brothers don't always, I mean, they do now, but at different times in the process, they didn't always believe that they had their best interest in mind. Sometimes they didn't believe I had their best interest in mind. But by listening to one another, by working together, we were able to create an understanding of the way sin functions. And, you know, it's happened to each boy at different times where they're deceived, they don't see it, and then gradually we talk about it, we ask for let's slow down, let's listen, are you listening? What is he saying? What is he saying? Can you repeat it back? God works graciously in humility. He gives grace to the humble, and so he's just helped these boys cultivate more humility by learning to humble themselves, and we've just kind of been doing church together, doing life together.
Yes, please.
I don't know. Oh, yeah. And one thing, another thing just about dealing with sin and how he's helped us to kind of understand that. One thing I really appreciate is just the way that he's involved Scripture in his encouragement to us and correction of us. I think that has kept it from being this is what I want you to do. But rather, he's really come with the authority of Scripture and really helped us to value that and to really base our decisions and our understanding of what is sin and what is pleasing to God from the Scripture. Mm-hmm. Just like Esau and like when he was bringing up Ephesians for James, and that's been really helpful. So.
Excellent. Well, Kenneth, thank you once again. Just one more question. It's clear you have biblical categories that are informed by Scripture that inform your practices. One practical question that came today from a dad and a mom. I don't know if any mom or dad can relate to a son or daughter that's not very talkative in the time of getting together or answers frequently, I don't know, or shrugs or doesn't give the impression they really are interested at all in wanting to have a conversation or to talk. How do you as a dad push through, how do you address a son? Obviously, you don't have a daughter, but how do you address one of your sons if that is the common refrain?
Yep.
If a dad is just trying to say, I just want my son to talk to me, engage me in the process.
Well, when a son or daughter is in that condition, they're obviously in rebellion. They are, and oftentimes it's accompanied by bitterness. And I think it's very important for parents to, as they build instruction and discipline in their children, that it be built on the foundation of relationship and love. And so that's one of the things that as we, you know, I think it's, and this doesn't mean if you don't do this when they're 6 to 12, you can't regain that ground when they're teenagers, but I think it's really important to build relationally with your children when they're 6 to 12 and begin this process of talking to them, because that's where I think that first appears, where the kids will say, I don't know. And sometimes they don't know is true. They're ignorant of the answer. But it's important that we as fathers do not accept that as an answer, but say, you may not know an immediate answer, but I want you to think hard about it. I want you to really exercise yourself and honor God by considering the question I'm asking you right now, because I believe God wants to use me to help you to grow in this area. And by saying I don't know and being quiet, you're not honoring God. You're dishonoring God. God's put me in your life. You're required to respond to my leadership. And starting there at a young age is really, it forms the foundation for pushing through, because I think a lot of young boys will say that, I don't know. And again, sometimes they don't know, but oftentimes they just don't want to think. And we have to force them to think about things. We have to force them to think biblically. And we have to appeal to them on the authority of Scripture that they must respond to us and to our questions. Now, if that approach doesn't work, if relationship is broken down, I think that we have to do an exploration. And one of the things that I've always sought, if I see signs of bitterness in my relationship with my boys, if they're responding sharply to me or quickly to me, or they're giving signs that they don't trust me, or even toward one another, we've talked a lot about the effects of bitterness and the dangers of bitterness, and make sure that they understand that removing themselves from their parents' relationship or from their brother's relationship is a sign of a very unhealthy spiritual condition. It's a very dangerous condition. Bitterness is a very corrupting sin, and I would be very concerned for them, and I'd explain that to them. And I would be very concerned for any son or daughter here that would refuse to respond to their parents, because it says something about their spiritual condition, and they're not in a good place, and they need to humble themselves and cry out to God, go to the God of mercy, who forgives them of their sins, and ask Him to help them to sort out that bitterness in their soul and humble themselves with their parents and even their pastor's help to really work through that bitterness so they can be restored in relationship to their kids. And if a parent has a child like that, that's the kind of thing that if one of them were doing that with me, I would go to pastors and I would say, what do I do? I'd take notes very carefully. I'd listen. I'd pray through those notes, and I'd do whatever I can to really work until my kids really began to respond to me again. So those are just some thoughts that I would have on that.
I want to draw attention to John David's last statement, which was very discerning of you, John David, that in observing your dad and observing even what took place between your dad and James, your dad wasn't trying to simply impose his preferences on James. James' response were obviously, and you were acting, James, were not theologically informed. And what your dad was seeking to do was to draw attention to the teaching of Scripture, the clear teaching and authority of Scripture, and transform theologically informed answers, transfer those to James. And that is skillful, humble parenting. So, well done.
Thank you.
Now, are we done, Dave?
One thing that if I would just say to the parents whose children, because the reason that that's possible is because James is converted.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And if he was not converted, or if any of my boys were not converted, if they were not born again, I would make sure that I would grow. I would do everything in my power to grow in the skill of evangelism. And I would say that to any parent, you know, if your child doesn't know the Lord, do whatever you can to grow in how to share the gospel and impose yourself and develop that skill in your family so that they can skillfully share the gospel in a skillful way until you're confident that your child has humbled themselves before the Savior. So I think that's
it. Yeah. Why don't you conclude? An evidence of grace you observe in James, Christopher, and John David.
No, that's not fair. I am very grateful for these boys. Mm-hmm. I told them this morning that they bring me much joy.
Yes.
And the thing that I would just say to all about all of them is they know their God and they love their God. Mm-hmm. They love their parents.
Yes, they do.
They love this church. They love their siblings. I could say this about all of them. Mm-hmm. They're seeking to be men of God, and that's what I respect about all of them.
Yes.
And I love them very much.
Thanks for bringing your dad so much joy, and your mom, and this church. And they love their Uncle CJ, too.
They do like them. And their Uncle Dave.
Uncle Dave just doesn't work. I don't know.
Doesn't work.
They have more uncles than anybody I know.
Well, parents, again, we want to do all we can do to equip you to this task. So on your way out, there is a sheet that says questions for parents to ask teens. So those are questions that Kenneth has put together, compiled in his own time with his sons. And there's another one. And this is a practical application for teens to pursue your parents. As Mr. Maka was saying, here's questions for teens to ask parents. So this is not just a time where you are to answer your the questions from your parents, but you are to go after their wisdom. You are to seek their wisdom. Here are questions that will help you do that. And we just wanted to also draw your attention to two resources, parents. The first one, Age of Opportunity. I don't know how many of you have read this book, but this really addresses that lie that in this season of life for a teenager, you are to distance yourself from your teens, that this is a time for them to experience independence, and you are to withdraw from them. It really confronts that lie and says, no, this is an opportunity for you. This is a time for you to engage your son or daughter even more. So we have provided that book for you tonight. If you want to buy that at cost, it's $8 or $9. It's in the lobby. Order multiple copies just so we wouldn't run out. Parents, if you haven't read that book, please, let me encourage you. That should be on the top of your reading list to talk about these kinds of topics. And the other practical book that will help you is Girl Talk. I'm assuming you guys haven't read Girl Talk. Yeah, you've read it. Probably not a real popular book. Probably not a popular book in the Maresco household.
Test. Girl Talk is good for dads. It's not just for moms. It really is one of the best books on discipleship I've ever read.
Excellent.
I would highly recommend dads read Girl Talk.
Excellent. Well, that's the second book we provided tonight. We ordered extra copies at cost. Moms, daughters, if you haven't read Girl Talk, that would be an absolute must read. So parents, if you could just make your way to the lobby and purchase those books, read them. They will benefit your soul. Again, can we thank these guys for opening up their lives to us? Thank you all so much. Excellent. Well, you guys are dismissed. We will see you the first week in December. God bless.